glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. Therefore, and this is an important word, when you hear the therefore, you almost have to sometimes go back and see what the context is, because the writer of Hebrews is referring to what happened before here, and then he has the therefore to teach us something new or to put the practice into place or to be mindful of the context about having faith. That's what chapter 11 is all about and the many examples of faith. But Hebrews 12 verses 1 through 3 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. O magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, January 30th, 2023, and that was a reading from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And I'm so excited to share that reading with you because a person that I highly respect and who is a gifted teacher, he loves dividing God's word, he loves studying it, he loves knowing it, he memorizes it, not just because it's great knowledge, it's godly wisdom, but the God behind it, the Lord Jesus Christ, who helped pen these words for us, for our benefit, for our knowledge of him, is a faithful follower of Jesus and loves to teach and proclaim this. And in fact, a week or so ago, Dr. David Webb sent me a text. He said, Mark, I've been studying and thinking about Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 3. And he stated, these are amazing, powerful imperatives for people seeking to be Christ's disciples. And so many times during our prayer gatherings or our ministry leaders network, we all want to be followers of Jesus. We want to be faithful disciples, disciples that create other disciples that create other disciples so that all get to know the good news message of Jesus. Well, when Dr. Webb contacted me, and he's passionate about a scripture, and he's passionate about many scriptures. In fact, a funny thing about Dr. Webb is usually whatever scripture he's studying or God has put on his heart becomes his favorite at the time, and then God reveals other truths or other chapters or books of the Bible. And so these Hebrew verses we're going to be talking about in just a few minutes here. I'm kind of setting up a formal and informal introduction to Dr. David Webb, but I've known him for a number of years and know him as one of the most faithful disciples of Jesus that loves reading God's word, loves dividing it, loves teaching it, and he's done it for many years. In fact, I was a part of a group of 11 of us that gathered for 18 months, never missing one of those gatherings. We were all committed and faithful, and Dr. Webb took us through like a Shalia training. It was a discipleship training that was really rigorous, and he held the bar really high. All 11 of us grew through that experience, and so appreciate Dr. Webb for facilitating that. But he was born and raised in Pittsburgh in a non-Christian home, and he came to faith at the age of 13 at a church camp where he gave his life to Christ. And at that time, he said, Lord, I want to serve the kingdom for life. The seeds of faith were implanted in him, and he became passionate about following Jesus at that young age. He was able to be an instrument used of God to bring his parents to Christ later on, and so many others of us have benefited by his constant studying of God's word and loving to teach. He's been married to Judy. I call her Jumpin' Judy. She's very gifted in her own right with music abilities and leading worship, and they've been married for 53 years. Dr. Webb has 4 grown daughters. They're professionals and true believers, and he has 13 grandchildren. He's been a family physician for 48 years and been with Carl for 46 of the years and has been the chairman of Department Family Medicine at the U of I for 6 years. He received the Physician Excellence Award in 2017 and the U of I Founders Award also in 2017 and the Physician of the Year in 2019. I know a number of you, Dr. Webb is your physician or who you go to when you have needs. A lot of my friends are his patients. In fact, not too long ago, a year or so ago, I had to go in for an emergency look over and he fit me in. I think he is currently reducing some of his hours. He's very sought after. And I know everyone appreciates Dr. Webb as their physician. He also was a missionary physician in Liberia, West Africa for 6 months, and he has a number of wonderful stories of what God did on his heart during some of those months there in Africa. He's been a teacher on our Great News Radio trips to Israel 7 different times where he loves to divide God's word on location. There's just nothing like it when you can picture and sense and the sights and the smells of the biblical events that took place in the Holy Land, and he gets warmed up after about an hour. So he just gets started the first hour, and then he really gets going, but he loves to teach God's Word. He's written several books. In fact, I have 4 of them out in front of me here. His latest book that just came out, I think last month or recently, The Years Beyond, Bedtime Stories of Cozy McIntosh and His Seaside Village. I just finished reading that recently, and so we're going to have him back to talk about that. And another book that he's used at times with the men's gatherings that he hosts the third Thursday of every Saturday is the book Letters to David, which is kind of a self-examination of what he wishes maybe an older person would have written him, or in hindsight, the lessons learned through faithfully following Jesus these many years. Had he known what he knows back then, what he knows now, it would have been really helpful. So that's been a great book to go through with many of the men. He's taught the Word of God for over 40 years in various venues and churches. And I was telling him earlier this morning that when I searched in some of the past involvement he had with the radio ministry, for instance, was like 21 years ago, he was at a church hosting an event, a topic where he taught on. So I've been fortunate or blessed to be under his leadership and his teaching for many of those years, I think 30-something years. What I remember many years ago, you said that your agreement with God, again, tongue in cheek, but was that you wanted to teach through the whole Bible, and that would assure you to live to a ripe old age, because some books you take 4 or 5 or so many years to go through. So if God's going to keep you alive through the whole Bible, you might live to be about 130 or so. But appreciate your passion of sharing God's word and faithfully following that. You've seen God do miraculous things in your life and in the life of your family since you've been following him since 13. And you're also very humbled by the fact that God uses you or delights to work in and through you. And so you serve him humbly and you appreciate every time you have an opportunity. I know many times that people have asked or requested you to speak. You pray it up, and many times the Lord says you're to do this, and you've sacrificed your time, your energy, your effort to do it. And I should qualify this, everyone. I know I'm giving a really lengthy overview introduction, but I'm going to really release Dr. Webb, David Webb, to share, because he really feels this Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 has many points of application for our lives and many things for us to digest, to understand, to put into practice. And so I've been giving all this introductory remarks because I want to begin a conversation on a couple questions and then really release you. And maybe this program will go into Tuesday and Wednesday. We'll see. But David, you had a passion about Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. And it's because of a journey that brought to your focus parts of Scripture. So one question I have to ask is, what should we learn or what should we understand, or why is Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 so important?
Well, Mark, first of all, thank you for that gracious introduction. I certainly appreciate your thoughts and your comments. And I do want to emphasize the fact that I am certainly aware that it is not me and my humanness, but it's the Holy Spirit who delights to speak through us as we allow ourselves to be his servants. So thank you for being a servant, and I am excited about approaching this great scripture. But in answer to your question, about 10 years ago at least, there was awakened in me by the Spirit a real passion for discipleship. You know, our Lord says, go and make disciples. And I looked around and I said, gosh, our society, our churches today, especially in this country, are not doing this job of discipleship. And I really was burdened for how to help in this effort to train people and to raise up people to become serious, radical disciples of Jesus Christ. And that was sort of a calling that I felt deeply. I especially felt this for the men. I looked around, I said, I want to see men step in a gap. I want to see men come to the forefront and become men of God in this culture, in this society, in our community. And so I entered into some men's groups, one of which you referred to, and thank you, the Shalia group, which was a special small group of men who really were seeking a radical level of discipleship. And then, of course, we have the larger men's group on the third Saturday each month that is a broader group and not as focused a group. But I really have a passion for the discipleship of men. Simultaneously, I've been involved in a teaching team of a small house church, Grafted Fellowship, and the Grafted Fellowship has decided to teach through and to learn through the book of Hebrews. So as I was doing that, and as I was preparing for my January teaching for the Shalia group, the Holy Spirit really raised out of the scripture, out of the word, Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. In fact, I was going to teach something completely different to the Shalia group, but it became clear that this was God's choice for me to focus on. So the verses we're going to look at are really critically important. You know, Mark, I was reading in Colossians the scripture that was compelling to me concerning discipleship. And in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7 and 9 and 10, I want to bring to the attention of the listener. It says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthening in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you, believer, you sons and daughters of the Lord, have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. I don't think we realize, I don't think we grasp, I don't think we latch on to the fact that we have the privilege and the power as Jesus' disciples. We have all the deity, all the fullness of the deity, because we are in Christ Jesus. You know, Paul talks about being in Christ Jesus 63 times in his epistles, half of those times in the epistle to the Ephesians. But we are in this wonderful position of being in Christ Jesus and having the full power of his authority in order to be his disciples. So I have a passion about discipleship.
So like oftentimes when you're studying God's word and the Holy Spirit kind of leads you into it, you're going through these Hebrews passages and you're in Hebrews 12. How is it relevant for us today? Or can you give us like a brief overview of the book of Hebrews to maybe set the context of what you want our listeners and me for that matter to even learn today?
Yes, I think that's critically important. When we study, when anyone studies a book of the Bible, especially these New Testament letters, these epistles, it's important to understand who is writing and why are they writing and what is the purpose of this letter. And this is very important to have a couple minutes to give a background on this so that we understand these critically important three verses. Now, we don't know for sure who the author of the Hebrews is. There's all sorts of conjectures. However, we do know that this author is somebody who uses vocabulary and uses words at a very beautiful fashion. He has a deep insight into how to picture for us different theological principles and to spell it out in beautiful words and terms. And we also know that he has a tremendous understanding of the Old Testament. some 40-some quotations from the Old Testament is given in the book of Hebrews. So it is extremely depth of knowledge of the Jewish ways in the Jewish Old Testament. And that's important because we think that the church that he is writing to is a small house church, maybe 30 or 40 people, in or around Rome at the time of Nero, about the mid-60s A.D. And this is a Jewish church, Jewish Christian church, probably second-generation Christians, came from a Jewish background. But what's important to understand and how this is relevant to us today is this. This church is being attacked. It's being attacked by Nero and the culture and the society of Rome at that time. And at that time, it's okay to be religious. You can be religious, but if you say you are a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, all of a sudden you become the enemy. And this small little church, second-generation Christians, was beginning to give up the centrality of Christ. They knew that if they could just take Jesus and put him off to the side and say maybe he's lower than the angels or not quite as good as Moses and peripheralize him, marginalize him, reduce him somehow, take him out of the spotlight, if they did that, they could save themselves from being persecuted and oppressed. And so they were doing that. So the writer of the Hebrews, the pastor who writes to him, says, you cannot do this. You must keep Jesus Christ as central and supreme. The full adequacy of Jesus Christ must be held as of a very central to our faith and high in our belief system. Now, I look around us today and I say, you know what? This country and this modern Christian church is too often doing the same thing. We're taking Jesus and we're putting him off to the side. We're not letting him be central. We're not holding him up as the supreme and adequacy, complete adequacy of the Godhead. And that's sort of like the Laodicea church, who is letting Jesus Christ be lukewarm, or the Ephesian church that was losing their first love. And so when we read these verses, it's not just to a church in 60 A.D. He is writing to us in the modern time, writing to us today to keep Jesus Christ supreme, central. Do not let it decrease in any way. Don't add to it. Don't take from it. Don't diminish it in any way.
What's so wonderful, as you know, God's word is timeless, and oftentimes we can read it a week later or a year later or 10 years later, and there's another layer of truth or a newer understanding, but it's the same where they were maybe marginalizing Jesus just to fit in or to be accepted, how we can do that today and how it's happening again today. Well, I know you have a message, even though we've already learned, we got some context, some insight, the importance of Hebrews and how God can use it to refine us, to change us, to encourage us, to bless us, to reveal who he is. But for the listener now, as you would teach and divide this and give us some understanding of specific words, I know the other day somebody said, oh, if Dr. Webb's going to do a teach-in, I hope it's not more than three verses because it could take hours. And that's a good thing because I know you love to give us insight and background because words have meaning and Jesus is the word, but these have been penned for our benefit, our refinement, our instruction, our insights. But for the listener and for myself now, how can we best prepare ourselves for the message or this teaching? What do you suggest for us to take in right now as you would prepare to share this passage with us? We're looking at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3.
Yes, I'll tell you what happened to me, which I think is what I would suggest might happen to you too. If you really encounter these verses and you really personalize it, be prepared, listener, to be convicted to the point of uncomfortableness. These verses set the bar very high for discipleship. These verses spur us on. They challenge us. And in a sense, they warn us. They warn us what can happen if we don't keep Christ central. You know, earlier in Hebrews, in chapter 4, he said this about the word of God. This is chapter 4, verse 12. The Word of God is living and active. Hmm. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Listeners, if you embrace these scriptures, these verses, you will be convicted. But you will be convicted in a way that's going to glorify God and bring you the fullness of life as a disciple of Jesus Christ. So be prepared as you encounter these for that situation. Mark, at this point, before we launch into the Spirit-led look at these verses, let's just have a word of prayer. Lord Heavenly Father, you penned these words through your Holy Spirit, and you knew that in 2023, outside of Mahomet, Illinois, that we would be looking at these words and talking about them. You also knew who would be listening, Father. You knew who would need to hear these, who desired to hear these, who are in a situation that they have to hear these to make the proper choices and decisions to bring about the fruit of their labors. So, Lord, I lift these verses up to you, and I ask that you bring them to fruition in the hearts and minds of the listeners, and above all, that you bring glory and honor to your holy name. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus and the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. I appreciate, Mark, again, the opportunity to speak about these verses. You read beautifully from the NIV, and that's going to be my source in the particular words I'm going to use. There are other versions that sort of look at these with little different versions, different words, but as that seems appropriate, I'll bring them into the teaching. If you're a person who likes sort of an overview statement, what are these three verses about? Then I would suggest they are about this. In these verses, God gives us four imperatives for powerful discipleship. Four imperatives, what is absolutely necessary to run the race of discipleship and bring him the glory and honor that he deserves and to serve him in the kingdom. Four imperatives. Now, the first imperative is,
oh, listening friend, don't take me to the woodshed. Those four imperatives will be covered tomorrow as Dr. David Webb has about 50 more minutes of teaching and content. So we may continue our discussion on Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3 through Wednesday, or it'll be continued tomorrow and then again next Monday and Tuesday. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.